Well, beloved, we're going to spend this hour and the next hour, since we finished up Acts chapter 20, and I haven't had really much time to kind of like get an outline going with Acts chapter 20, and hopefully you forgive me. But since Acts 20 is done, and we can kind of put the book of Acts to the middle burner, how about we focus our attention on the book of Deuteronomy here this morning? In that chapter 19. So let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19 first. We're going to spend this hour and the next hour discussing these cities of refuge, which are actually a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And hopefully we'll get to that eventually. The cities of refuge were real literal cities. Yes, I'm not detracting from that. They were to be real literal cities that would have a particular function, sparing the life of someone who accidentally killed somebody. Okay? An accidental homicide. All right? These were real cities. But since everything in the Old Testament that was literal and physical, like, for instance, the tabernacle, the temple, and all the furniture, just as physical and literal as the high priest and all of his regalia, all that it symbolized and represented. Even the land, though it was physical, had a spiritual representation. You have an earthly Jerusalem, a real physical city, but when you come to the end of the book of Revelation, John is no longer told to look earthward. He's told to look up to a heavenly Jerusalem, adorned like a bride for her bridegroom. So everything in the Old Testament that was literal and physical, something that was touchy-feely, something you can put your hands on, not only was literal and physical and served a purpose, it also had a much deeper, richer, and broader spiritual application. And that's what many in the professing church have lost sight of. Even the land, even physical circumcision, has a much broader and deeper spiritual significance. And it's not the baptism of infants. It relates to the circumcision of one's heart in salvation. Okay? So Deuteronomy chapter 19, I'd like to focus our attention only to verses 7 and 10 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 7. Wherefore I command thee. So this was something that Moses is telling the people at this time. Remember, they have not crossed the Jordan yet. Moses is still alive. Joshua has not yet taken full command of the nation. Okay? The 40-year wandering is winding down. They're on the east side of the Jordan River. They're not technically have crossed and gotten into the land to start conquering. Okay? Saying, thou shalt separate three cities for thee. Okay, so three cities of refuge were to be initially designated. Okay? Prior to the full conquest of the land. Because notice what you read next. And if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, meaning if your borders are extended, as he had sworn unto thy fathers, so this is something that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we looked at some of those verses last Sunday, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers. So if they did conquer the land, from the Euphrates to the north, to the Mediterranean to the west, to beyond Jordan to the east, and as far south as the river of Egypt, which is not the Nile, if thou shalt keep all these commandments, and to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add, underline, three cities more for thee besides these three. Why? that innocent blood, again, accidental homicide, be not shed in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. So are you with me? Okay, you don't need Greek, you don't need Hebrew. I think our English translation says it very simple, very sweet, and to the point. Prior to conquering all the land, they were to already, at this point, designate three cities as a city of refuge. Pre-adventure, good old King James, pre-adventure, they did conquer all the land, to the north, to the Euphrates, to the south, the river of Egypt, to the west, to the Mediterranean coastline, and beyond Jordan on the east. Because of that expansion, there was going to be the need to designate three more cities of refuge, making six in total. All right, are you with me? Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 1, which was our call to instruction, and let's enter this into the record here this morning. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness. So they've not crossed over Jordan. Moses is still alive, and Joshua has not taken command. If I sound repetitive, it's because I know that you know you don't get it, neither do I get it, the first or second reading. So don't get upset. God repeats himself. If not, if you don't believe me, read the genealogies that are repeated in Chronicles. Okay? In the plain over against the Red Sea between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb, which is Mount Sinai, in Arabia, not in the Sinai Peninsula, by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. It came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month. So actually, we've actually gone a little bit beyond 40 years. The 40th year, the 11th month of that 40th year, the first day of that 11th month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. After he had slain Shihon, the king of the Ammonites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt in Ashtaroth in Edrei, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying. And so we're on the map here. This is the best map that we can find, that actually shows that far northern extent of Israel's border to the Euphrates. Most of your Bible atlases are basically bogus and not being true. And that's because of a certain hermeneutics that even affects their atlas maps in the back of your Bible. So ideas do have consequences. And then you find the southern border down here to the river of Egypt, which is not the Nile, but a river that actually divides the southern border of Israel into the entrance into the Sinai from the east. All this land was to be theirs, according to the Bible. What do we read? The Lord your, verse 6, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, that's Mount Sinai in Arabia, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mountain. So apparently they kind of stayed put at Mount Sinai, and God says, enough is enough, you've been here too long, it's time to get moving. Turn you, take your journey, and go to the mount of the Ammonites, unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, in the vale, in the south, and by the seaside, okay, that would be Mediterranean, to the land of the Canaanites, unto Lebanon, far north, now get this church, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now you take that, and you go back to Genesis 15, where Jesus comes to Abram, puts him in a trance, after Abraham gets all the animal sacrifices prepped up, and then Jesus puts Abram in a trance where he's totally passive, and it's Jesus who, as a flaming furnace and fire, walks through those open sacrificial animals, cutting the covenant, as it's called, cutting a covenant in blood. Jesus walks through those animals, not Abram. Abraham is totally passive. He's out of it. God puts his name and honor on the line, not Abraham's honor and name. And so when you read Genesis 15, when Abraham comes out of his trance, Jesus tells him the boundaries of the land that his eventual seed is going to get, literally and physically, besides the 400 plus year captivity in Egypt. All that in a nutshell is given to Abraham on that night, on that night when he cuts that covenant. Now look at verse 8. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Verses 8 is very clear. Now, there may be some that want to dance around verse 8 and make it say things it doesn't say. But when I read verses 7 and 8, God is making a statement of matter of fact. You're going to get the land, as I've sworn to your forefathers. Now, why is all this important with the cities of refuge? Because again, in Deuteronomy 19, 7 to 10, if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, three cities were initially to be designated as cities of refuge prior to the land being even started to be conquered. And then, pray adventure, if God did give them all this real estate, as some today doubt that he did, and therefore it must be given to them in some millennial reign yet in the future, if I can prove to you that three other cities were eventually designated, that would mean that God did give them all the land, and that that particular promise given to the forefathers was actually fulfilled, and therefore does not need to be fulfilled again in some future earthly, geopolitical, millennial reign. That will get us in trouble with mainstream Christianity. But beloved, we don't care, because truth is truth. It all depends if you have the stamina and the courage to plant your flag where the scripture speaks. Okay? Now that's introduction. We've read some passages. Now let's begin. So let's first review what we have said so far. Number one, God made a covenant with Abraham, which in turn was eventually given and repeated to Isaac, Jacob. Even Joseph refers to it in relationship to his bones. When the Lord does come and visit you, and when he sets you free, I want my mummified body taken out of its present tomb in Egypt and hauled off to the land of promise to be reburied. And Moses, as we're reading here in Deuteronomy and then elsewhere. So that's the first thing, review, that we brought to the table. God did make a promise about that real estate over there, besides other promises given to the forefathers. Secondly, part of this covenant included the physical land with set boundaries. And then, wonder of wonders, you look at that verse 7 here of Deuteronomy chapter 1. Turn you, take your journey, go to the mount of the Amorites, unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hill, in the vale, in the south, by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, up to Lebanon, unto the great river, and he designates the river Euphrates. Now, a thought just came to me. So here's a postscript. There may be some who might be listening to this, asking the question, why in the world are you wasting your church's time on this particular subject? We know for a matter of fact the Jews never conquered all the land, so that particular promise is still dangling out there on some prophetic tree, and eventually God is going to fulfill that in the sweet by and by in that millennial kingdom. So Pastor Bob, you're way out of your league. You're touching a subject that makes no sense. You know why this subject is so important? we're dealing with the veracity and the trustworthiness of your book. Not my words. My words mean nothing. God said he was going to give the people the land. God told them 3 cities initially, 3 more if you get the land. So the simple question is, did they get the land? Were 3 more additional cities of refuge ever designated? If not, then God lied. And if God lied, then beloved, the integrity and the trustworthiness of your Bible is on the line. See, this is more than just simply proving one side to be wrong with its hermeneutical approach. We're trying to establish that the Bible can be trusted. And when God makes a promise, God keeps his word. That's the bigger issue in this current lesson. Because see, we're brought to Deuteronomy 19, right? And when you do expository preaching, you are forced to address a subject that maybe, for the sake of no controversy, you choose to bypass. See, it's quite easy to simply read that portion of Deuteronomy 19 about the cities of refuge, make a simple passing comment, and then proceed to chapter 20. And everyone's happy clappy. That's very easy, isn't it? But to spend your time and my time in preparing and then giving it forth for you to think and chew in your mind, that's a whole different ballgame. Well, this pastor here is not afraid to spend the time and to actually show you from the scriptures that you can trust the Bible, and when God says something, you can take it to the bank. Okay? And any other hermeneutical approach that tries to cast doubt on the Bible or on God's word, let it be damned. Anathema. Cursed. Okay? Number 3. With regards to the land, 3 initial cities of refuge were to be designated to protect any who had committed accidental homicide. Not first degree, cold-blooded murder, but an accidental murder. 3 cities. Fourthly, according to our text, Deuteronomy 19, verse 7 to 10, 3 additional cities were to be designated as cities of refuge on or upon getting all the land promised in Genesis chapter 15 to Father Abraham. So that's what we've covered so far. That's what we laid on the table here this morning and in the past couple of lessons. So my question is this. Were 3 additional cities of refuge ever added to the original 3? If I cannot show you 3 more additional cities, then guess what? Israel never got the land as it was promised, for whatever reason. And therefore, I would have to agree with the other camp that the land promise was never achieved, and so that's still dangling at low level on that prophetic tree with our premillennial dispensational friends. I would have to say you have a point. That somehow, some way, this land real estate will still have to be fulfilled, probably in your concept of the earthly geopolitical Jewish Shangri-La on earth, the millennial kingdom. However, if I can show you to the contrary, then you have to do something with your hermeneutical approach to the land. Maybe that prophetic cherry on the tree is not there, and it ain't hanging because it's been fulfilled. Okay? Simple question. It's either yes or no is also required. And if Pastor Bob says yes, then Pastor Bob has the monkey on his back to prove it. To prove it. So, are you ready for a journey? Let's have a little bit of sanctified fun. Not fun in the bad sense, but simply to look at God's word and see how God is able to make a promise and keep that promise despite you or I or any other human being. Turn with me to Numbers 35. Now, you may want to jot these down maybe on a piece of paper or you have a notebook, because I want you to go back and then do your own study. I don't want you simply to take my word because I'm up here flapping my lips. I want you to actually go back there and do some study. Let's read verses 9 to 15, but I want you to pay close attention to verses 13 to 15, if you will. Numbers 35, starting with verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you. See, you thought the cities of refuge was only mentioned maybe once or twice. No, no. We're now finding it mentioned here in the book of Numbers. That the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. So we're getting more information, more insight into the condition upon which anyone could justifiably flee to one of these cities of refuge. Again, I repeat myself because people don't get it normally the first, second, or even the third time. Matter of fact, when it comes to me, it's taken me some 40-some plus years to hear it and then finally see it. All right? After hearing it more than once. So what are we being told? The only person who could flee to this city and be justifiably secure and safe from the Avenger of Blood was when he killed somebody unawares. We're talking about an accidental killing. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the Avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. So when they got to these particular cities, these initial three, and hopefully three more would be added upon conquering the land, they would make their case or state their case before a body of individuals. Now, and of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. Now, it says shall. That's strong. You shall clean up your room. Well, when mommy or daddy says that to little Johnny, Johnny's not being told that he can pray about it or, you know, play a card game. And if he beats mommy or daddy 2 out of 3, he don't have to clean up his room. You shall pick up the trash. Shall. Notice verse 13, God is not saying, and of these six cities which ye might, you might get to have for refuge. Verse 13 seems to be speaking very matter of fact. Ye shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan. So notice, if you look at your map here, okay, here's the, see if I can find it here. Okay, here's your Jordan River. Here's the Dead Sea, okay? So three cities on the east, and then three cities in the land itself proper were to be designated. So you notice, beloved, we start off with three, but God says, of these cities which ye shall, not might, maybe, hope so, you know, if you have a good card deck, if you roll the dice properly several times, you might get it. No, ye shall give three cities on this side Jordan, three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities, God speaks matter of fact, as if there's going to be six cities, not just simply three, shall be refuge, both for the children of Israel and for the stranger, meaning a non-Jew, a non-Israelite, and for the sojourner among thee, someone just simply passing through who may not be from one of the 12 tribes of Israel. How's that grab you? That everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron, so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood, whether he be dead, with him he may die. And he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall be put to death. The avenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. And then it continues to go on with other stipulations and the conditions for these six cities. But I wanted you to look at that verse 13 to 15. Verse 13. Of these cities which ye shall give, six shall ye have for refuge. God is speaking plainly, matter of fact, as if they're going to have eventually six cities. And if they did have six more cities on top of the original three, then that meant that they conquered the land, and that fulfilled the promise given to the forefathers. Ye shall give three cities on this side Jordan. Three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. So this is evidence number one. Okay? So remember, these words were given before the nation crossed over the Jordan, way before Joshua's leadership comes into picture. Okay? So this is the first evidence that we put on the table. This passage, where God speaks very plainly about not simply three, but six cities. Then God delineates three on the east bank of Jordan, three on the west bank of Jordan. Now, beloved, you're stuck with that. Okay? And you don't need to run the C.I. Scofield's notes at the bottom of your Scofield Reference Bible. You don't need to run off the John MacArthur's study reference Bible or anyone's study Bible. I think God is quite plain here. Very, very plain. Just like John 3:16 is plain. You need a Greek dictionary to understand John 3:16? I don't think so. It's quite plain in English, like here. All right? Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3. I've entitled this Evidence Number 1. And we're bringing certain points under the subtitle Evidence Numero Uno. Deuteronomy chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 18 to 20. And this is a very interesting arrangement with three of the 12 tribes. Okay? Because I'm going to show you another relationship to these three cities in regards to the land. Okay? We're really going to have some fun here this morning in light of the very popular hermeneutical approach to Israel in the land. That is now quite popular with the war in Gaza and all of that. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 3, verse 18. And I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God had given you this land to possess it. Say what? That's matter of fact too. Let me read that again. The Lord your God hath given you this land to possess it. Beloved, they haven't even crossed the Jordan yet. And notice how God is speaking. He's speaking in the affirmative, not in the hypothetical. Ye shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for war. So what is going on here? Well, beloved, if you read everything before verse 18, guess what happens? Three of the tribes of Israel, Gad, Manasseh, and Reuben, while they are on the east side of Jordan, Moses is still alive and pumping blood, Joshua is waiting in the wings to be the next leader of the nation. That's all in place. Three of these tribes come to Moses and say the following. And you check me out. You read verses 1 to 17 this afternoon after you have lunch. Moses, the land on the east side of Jordan is plush and ideal for our cattle. We want that territory. We three tribes, Gad, Manasseh, and Reuben, we want the land on the east side of the Jordan. And you know what Moses says to them? Okay, but it comes with a condition. And beloved, I bet most of you Christians who were out there advocating that Israel still needs to get the land, I bet you haven't read any of the Old Testament, what I'm about to show you. Three tribes come to Moses and say, we want this land. And Moses says, fine, but there's a condition attached. So you have these three tribes. They come to Moses and say, we like this land. Moses says, fine, but it comes with a condition. Most Christians, I bet, don't even know about this. So let's read verse 18. I commanded you at that time when you came with this request, saying, the Lord your God had given you this land to possess it. He's talking to the three tribes about this land on the east bank. Ye shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for your war. So Moses says, fine, God's going to give you all this land that you are now requesting. However, every able-bodied male from your three tribes that are men that can handle sword and shield, get this, but your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know that ye have much cattle, shall abide in your cities which I have given you. Moses is now giving them all that land outright, without even fighting for it per se, with all of the cities thereof to take it over. But the men of war, able-bodied men of war from these three tribes, were to be part of Joshua's army when they did cross Jordan. The wives and the children of these men would stay on the east bank. Get this. Until the Lord have given rest unto your brethren. The implication is when you finally conquer the land, as well as unto you, and until they also possess the land which the Lord your God had given them beyond Jordan, and then shall ye return every man unto his possession which I have given you. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, you better mark that down. So now, we have two possible proofs, not just one, but now two, on whether or not Israel received the land promised to Abram in Genesis 15. Now, Jesus tells us, quoting from the Old Testament, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything shall be established. So I am going to offer to you two witnesses that Israel did conquer all the land. The first is whether or not they ever achieved six cities of refuge. Number one, if I can prove that, that stands by itself. However, I'm now introducing a second element to my lesson. This concept of the three tribes on the east bank being given their inheritance while Moses is still alive and prior to Joshua crossing over the Jordan following the death of Moses. Can you see that? You don't need Hebrew and Greek. English is quite well here. And the condition for these men to get this land, they were to leave their wives and children behind, which meant they were trusting God to protect their family, because every able-bodied man who could fight from these three tribes on the east bank were going to follow Joshua and go to war on the west bank, which meant that the little kiddos and the wives and the livestock are going to be left undefensively, because all the men of war are going to be gone. All that's left are little children and senior citizens. And they're no match for any invading army at the time. So notice how these people were willing to trust in God's providence and in God's care for them, that they were willing to send all able-bodied men of war with Joshua eventually to conquer on the west bank, while the wives, the children, and the cattle, the children, and the senior citizens would be left defenseless. until their husbands or their sons or their uncles returned. Now here's the question. Question number one. Were six cities of refuge finally achieved? Question two. Did these men of war ever conquered the land and thus were allowed to go back home under the condition that Moses gave to them? Two questions. It's either yes or no. If it's yes, Pastor Bob, can you prove it? Now that's the point. Can you prove it? Okay. Are you ready? All right. Turn to Numbers 32. Now, this is somewhat laborious, but if we're going to prove our point, we're not simply going to say, yes, all these promises were realized, and then turn the page and go sing a couple of hymns and then go home. We're going to take the time to prove the point, which many in our churches don't have the stomach nor the patience to endure sound doctrine. But not so in our little humble church. We strive to hear all of it and then come to our own conclusion. Are you ready? Numbers chapter 32. Let me get there. All right. Look at verses 20 to 33. The question is, did these men of war ever get back home? And the only way they were going to get back home is if they assisted the other tribes in conquering and getting their inheritance. That's exactly what we're reading in the Bible. No more, no less. Okay, ready? Look at verse 20. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war. Now here is a more fuller account of this promise. And will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he had driven out his enemies from before you. Underline. What was the condition? Well, until God has driven out all your enemies. Okay. And the land be subdued. Underline that. Before the Lord. Then afterward ye shall return. There it is. You can go home, you men of war, the Gadites, the Manassehites, and the Reubenites. You can go home and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. Look at that verse 22. Underline it, mark it, highlight it, asterisk, whatever. Memorize it, whatever. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. So if these men looked at Moses and said, we don't like this condition, we ain't crossing over the Jordan, Moses says to them, then that's sin on your part, and that sin will eventually find you. Build your cities for your little ones and foals for your sheep. Do that which had proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, thy servants will do as my Lord commanded. Underline that. They agreed. Beloved, we're just looking at Scripture. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, all of our cattle shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But thy servants will pass over, every man armed of war, before the Lord to battle, as my Lord saith. Notice, they are agreeing with the condition Moses is placing upon them. So concerning them, Moses commanded Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, so here are the two high rollers, the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben will pass with you over Jordan, every man armed to battle before the Lord, and the land shall be subdued before you, shall be, not maybe so, hope so, then ye shall give them the land of Gilead for a possession. And if they will not pass over with you armed, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. And the children of Gad, the children of Reuben, answered, saying, as the Lord liveth, saith unto thy servant, so will we do. We will pass over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan. that the possession of our inheritance on this side Jordan, meaning the east, may be ours. And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Shihon, king of the Amorites, that's east bank, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, that's the east side of Jordan, with the cities thereof in the coast, even the cities of the country round about. So, I've given you Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 18 to 20. I've given you Numbers 32, verses 20 to 33, okay? So what's next? Now turn to Joshua 1. Verses 10 to 18. Now, Moses is not in the picture. Joshua has now taken command. All right? All the verses up until now, Moses was the one giving the word. Now it's Joshua's turn. Look at verse 10 to 18. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. Are you ready? And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua. Underline. Remember. Remember what? Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Look at verse 13. How matter of fact can that be? Now, did you hear something? Joshua was reminding these three tribes, you got land and you got the peace. They've already conquered the Ammonites and Og, king of Bashan. They removed the threat on the east side. You got land and you got peace. Remember, your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. There's the condition. Until, underline, he told them to remember. Now he says, this arrangement is in force until the Lord had given your brethren on the west bank rest, as he had given you on the east. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. They're going to possess it just like you possess the east bank. They're going to get everything on the west side. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the servant gave unto you on this side Jordan towards the sun rising. What does that mean? Well, towards the what? The east. And they answered Joshua, saying, here it comes. All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou send us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee, Joshua. Only the Lord thy God be with you as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, meaning this arrangement, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. My dear brothers and sisters, how are you interpreting so far? Are you having a hard time? Especially in light of what you hear from most churches and on social media and on the radio, that Israel never got the land fully, and therefore it's a little hanging cherry on a so-called prophetic tree dangling and waiting for the millennial reign of Jesus on the earth. Now we're going to get ourselves in trouble. I've given you, by way of remembrance, two stipulations. Two questions, whether or not Israel got the land. We got the issue of the city of refuge, which in the next hour we're going to prove. But now I'm proving to you something that is related to the land and thus does touch upon the six cities. What about this arrangement that God made with these three tribes on the east bank of the Jordan? They were only going to return home if the mission was accomplished. Mission accomplished. Only then could they return home. So here's the question. Was the mission ever accomplished? Turn with me now, in closing this hour, Joshua 22. And beloved, you have to deal with the Holy Spirit, not with me. If you think I'm out to lunch, that's fine. You're basically showing your ignorance and the fact that you are not teachable. You'd rather hang on to a fable or to a lie or to a myth than Scripture. Again, the real overarching issue in this lesson is not whether the land was actually fully given, which I think it was. We're dealing with the veracity and the trustworthiness of God and His Word. Either God lied or God cannot be trusted to keep a promise. That's the issue. Ready? Question. Did these men of war, the ones who survived all that bloodshed in the book of Joshua, were they ever allowed to go home? Because the mission was accomplished. That was the only mission that would allow them to go back to their wives and kids. Okay? Ready? Then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe. Joshua 22, verse 1. Joshua 22, verse 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them, ye have kept, what did he say? You've kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice and all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. I call that mission accomplished. And now the Lord your God had given rest unto your brethren. Now what did we read in the verse before? God gave rest and peace to those on the east bank of the Jordan. Now Joshua is telling the surviving men of battle, you have now given rest to your brothers on this side of Jordan, as he promised them. Therefore now, underline. Don't be afraid to mark up your Bible. Return ye. Return ye. And get you unto your tents, unto the land of your possession, which is the east side, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment in the law. Okay, mission accomplished. Go back to your wives, your family, your possession, your livestock. But don't forget to be diligent to heed the commandments of the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So Joshua blessed them, sent them away, and they went unto their tents. I rest my case with point one. I've taken all of your time and all of my energy here this morning to walk you through this particular request by three tribes. The condition that Moses, while he was still alive, placed upon them. These men left everything behind on the east bank, trusting in God's providential care, leaving wives, children, and livestock, and seniors, and then little ones at the mercy of whoever to cross over onto the west bank, assist Joshua in getting the land for those particular tribes so that they can get their inheritance, have rest, have peace, and then be sent home. And here in Joshua chapter 22, my dear Christian brothers and sisters, and if you're premillennial, dispensational, you can cry and howl all you want. But I've given you one proof, at least one, that the land promised in Genesis chapter 15 was realized. It was realized in this particular event in the life of three tribes. You have to wrestle and struggle with God's word, not with me. And you can run to all of your C.I. Scofield footnotes. You can run to John Nelson Darby and all of his footnotes. You can run to Dallas Theological Seminary and John Walvoord and Hal Lindsey and all of those individuals. You can run to them all you want and bird chirp all you want. I'm just giving you the plain word of God. Three tribes made a request. Moses put a condition on that request, and I'm showing you, beloved, that in the days of Joshua, that request and that condition were met and honored. And what did Joshua tell these guys? Go home. Mission accomplished. In the next hour, we're going to have some more sanctified fun. Did Israel add three additional cities of refuge? And if they did, then that is the second witness that Israel did gain the land as promised. Amen.